Tonight we are studying Parshat Tazria Metzorah, Leviticus chapter 12 through chapter 15. It is very interesting chapters of the Torah. In the chapters of today's Torah lesson, we read much about leprosy, a terrible disease of the ancient world, and also about the birth of a child. You might ask, how can there be a similarity between leprosy and childbirth? The similarity is because in both cases, in this Torah portion, God saw that people were in an unclean state and needed to be separated from society until they were no longer unclean. In both cases, he gave very specific instructions about the behavior of an unclean person and about what one must do to again be made clean. So let's read Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46. It is very interesting chapters, and it is very instructive, full of spiritual meaning and interesting lessons for us. So Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46. And let us read together. All the days during which the plague is on him, he will be unclean. He is unclean. He is to dwell alone outside of the camp will be his dwelling. Long before the advent of modern medicine, before the discovery of harmful bacteria and viruses, when the rest of the pagan world did not even have a clue that diseases could be transmitted, the Lord speaks of isolation from each other as a way to preserve the people of Israel. It is a miracle. It is wisdom of God towards the people of Israel. The word unclean in Hebrew is a concept that means a person's condition in which he was forbidden not only to be in close contact with people, but even during services and at times when services were made to God, he supposed to be outside. From these Torah chapters, we need to understand it is important to note that it was not for one's sin, but for external reasons that people were isolated from Israeli society. It does not matter whether the reason is joyful, as in the case of childbirth, or sorrowful, as in sickness or illness. Our chapter says that there are situations when a person in some aspect of life must be separated from others for a time, not forever, so that the whole society can function together. When I read this place of scripture and meditate about it, I found something interesting here. Do you know what is the most joyful part of separation? The most joyful part of separation, it's when the time of separation ended, for sure. At that time, he would be examined by a priest who would pronounce the person clean, so that he could return to a full-fledged spiritual and social life. He could again come to the temple to worship and serve God. And this required faith and obedience to God and to the priest who made the decision about healing. It is very important to remember and understand. When a person fell ill and was separated from society, when his life seemed to be destroyed, at that time, a great test came both for the person himself and for his family. For a time, it seemed to his relatives that he had died. And after his healing, it seemed to those around him that he had been resurrected from the dead again. What I would like to show today is that his restoration to health and to his family, although it was a time for rejoicing for him, for sure it was the time of joy, still it was a challenging time. It was not an easy process, neither for him nor for his family, and those around him. Often people, even after their complete healing, still bore the stamp of illness, or may even have had disfigured bodies as a result of the disease, as a result of leprosy. To face life in such a state, even though in good health, must have been a difficult proposition, requiring great faith in God, humility, patience, and obedience to the Lord and to the priest. It was necessary that he continue to appear to the priest and go through the necessary long process of purification. Truth is that for many of those people who went through separation, for many of those people, life never returned to its formal state, as they would still be seen as unclean by others, a danger to others and lepers for the rest of their lives in the eyes of some people. Not everybody, but of some people. And still, they had to rebuild their lives the best way they could, and they had to serve God. And the most important thing for them was that they do not remain forever isolated within themselves, inside of their hearts. For us who have had to spend time in seclusion or experience a separation, it can be very much the same today. For example, after the loss of a dear person, we experience a time of sorrow and loneliness, followed by the time of recovery. And it is necessary to find strength to return to life as usual, to return to God's plan for our lives, rather than to remain in the prison of self-isolation. We need to find the strength to follow the Lord. One of the most striking examples of this in the book of Matthew. I love this place of scripture. It is so important. Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 6. Matthew 26, verse 6. Now while Yeshua was in Bethany, at the house of Simon Hametzorah, Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive oil, and she poured it on his head as he was reclining at the table. But when the disciples saw this, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? It could have been sold for a lot, and the money given to the poor." But Yeshua, knowing this, said to them, "Why do you cause trouble for this woman? She's done me a mitzvah. You always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. For when she poured this oil on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." And verse 13. "Amen, I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in all the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Okay, verse 6. Simon the leper is a very curious example for us. The Bible, the book of Luke, verse 6, calls him a leper. Bible calls him not the one who was a leper or Simon the healed leper. So it is cleared from the scriptures that he was healed from this leprosy. But for some people around him, he would forever remain Simon the leper. Maybe, perhaps he had scars remaining on his face or body, I don't know. But what's interesting and what's important to remember from this place of scripture, that this attitude that some people had towards him did not leave him in self-isolation, a state of self-regret or complaining about his fate. In fact, he served the Messiah with his belongings And one of the most beautiful stories about Yeshua's preparation for death took place in his house, the house of Simon the leper. How often can we apply this passage from the Bible in our lives? I know that this cruel world inflicts wounds on us, sometimes cripples our souls and bodies. It is a cruel world. And sometimes even after we come to the Messiah and we accept him by faith into our lives, still we can bear the scars of those wounds, the after effects of past illnesses and battles. Sometimes these wounds in our heads, sometimes there are broken relationships that may never be restored. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes there are character traits that we find very difficult for us to cope with. Perhaps some will see us as lepers forever, contagious forever, unhealthy until our final day on earth, and we can't change this. It is not in our power. But don't let that stop us from serving God. I would like to repeat again. Don't let that stop us from serving God. I can imagine, when I read this place of scripture, I can imagine that to some people, the house of Simon the leper would be contagious forever. But not for Yeshua. Yeshua paid Simon a visit. He came to his place. Consider the condition of such a man, one who had been declared unclean and sent out of the camp. How could such a man preserve himself? When I thought about it, I came to a conclusion to myself. The only way is to refuse to allow that awful disease that had ravaged his body to also destroy his soul. Circumstances of one's life can change. An unfortunate man might lose everything, but his task was not to lose God, not to lose faith, not to lose his soul. I wanted to speak to some of you. Perhaps you are now experiencing a life of isolation. Keep the faith. Do not be discouraged. Do not give up hope. Keep Yeshua in your heart and he will keep you. And when the time comes and you regain your freedom, return to the faith. Serve God with everything in you. Serve him as Simon the leper did, with even more fire and dedication that you had before. This is the way to live with the Lord. This is the only way. There are tremendous examples in the Bible of the Lord healing people from their leprosy, and we can draw some important lessons from some of these today. The first idea to note is that God gives us the opportunity to be cleansed, but we must have a correct understanding of who he is. We must acknowledge that he wants us to be healed and restored inside of us. And in his plan, even those who are impure by the law and are outside the camp, they are not deprived of the opportunity for forgiveness and cleansing. Let us read Luke chapter 17. This is a very interesting place of scripture. Luke chapter 17, starting with verse 11. And let us go together in the scriptures. It is so important to remember. And try to not just read it, but to imagine this place, to think about it. Now, while going up to Jerusalem, Yeshua was passing between Samaria and the Galilee. So it was somewhere. Nobody knows where it is. So on the way to Jerusalem, to the important place, on the way, somewhere between. Verse 12. As he entered a certain village, 10 men with leprosy came toward him. They stood some distance away and raised their voices, saying, "Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the Kohanim, as we read in the chapters of Leviticus. And as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell at Yeshua's feet, face down, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Then Yeshua answered and said, weren't 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Weren't any found who came back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And then Yeshua said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. In Greek, it can be read as translated as, your faith saved you. This passage of scripture holds many important lessons for us. We have time to look at only a few. So let's take a look at a few lessons. The first lesson, the lepers recognized Yeshua's power and authority. Interestingly, of all the words, Luke chooses the word master in order to show these lepers approached Yeshua. How these lepers approached Yeshua. In the New Testament, the Greek word epistates is used only by Luke and is commonly used by the apostles of Yeshua and his disciples who followed him. It was a word which showed great honor. It described a person who has significant authority, significant power. This is why it is used in relation to Yeshua. Notice how Luke uses this word in chapter 8. Let us open chapter 8 and we will find the same word in the different settings, how his disciples called Yeshua. It is in Luke chapter 8, verse 23. And here's the very tough, very difficult situation. Then as they were sailing, he fell asleep. We know this story. Yeshua is in the boat. He fell asleep. He's tired. And here's the test for his Talmidim. A violent windstorm came down on the lake, and they were swamped with water and in danger. So here it is, a great test for his disciples. So verse 24, they came to Yeshua and woke him saying, Master, Master. So in this case, the same word epistathis used here. Master, Master, someone who has authority, has power. We are perishing. He got up and rebuked the wind and the surging wave of water. Then they stopped and it became calm. What an interesting example. Therefore, when 10 lepers turned to Yeshua calling him Master, according to Gospel of Luke, Luke wants to show that they recognized Yeshua's authority and power. They recognize his authority, so they call him Master. Perhaps they were aware of the many healings performed by Yeshua during his ministry. He was the only hope they had. This was their last chance. There was no other way out of this situation. No medication, no other decisions. These people were really desperate. So here's the second lesson. They came to Yeshua in humility and faith. They shouted from afar, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. The lepers admit that they are in a miserable situation. They cannot solve the problem. In this difficult situation, there is nothing they can do except to depend on his authority and power. So they plead for mercy. Have mercy on us. I love this expression. Such an expression, have mercy on us. to use these words tells us, and it told Yeshua that they know beyond all doubt that he was able and had the power to heal them. The question was not whether he could heal or not. They asked for mercy because they were sure that he is able to heal them. But it also tells us of the humility of those people. They were not arrogant people. Mercy cannot be earned, captured, or purchased. There is only one way to inspire mercy: in humbleness. Perhaps their humility would be persuasive. Perhaps he would help. And look at an answer. With such a demonstration of the faith in their hearts, it is not surprising that Yeshua immediately answered their prayers. A great miracle. The cleansing of 10 lepers took place in an instant. It was no special prayers, no laying on of hands. It simply happened because of their faith. They have had faith and asked for mercy. There is another very special point that we must understand about this healing. According to the interpreters of the Torah and the rabbis of those days, cleansing from the leprosy was one of the most obvious signs of the Messiah. They taught that the power of cleansing, or power to cleanse lepers, belongs to the Messiah who was to come. So they were waiting for Messiah who will be able to cleanse the lepers. This is why Yeshua, answering the question of John, Yohanan the Immerser, or John the Baptist, about whether he was the Messiah or not, he answered John. And you remember this is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. I would like to read it. Matthew 11, verse 2. Now when John heard in prison about the works of the Messiah, he sent word through his disciples and said to Yeshua, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Yeshua replied, "Go report to John what you heard and see, what you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. Those with leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news proclaimed to them. Blessed is the one who is not led to stumble because of me." So when I read this place, knowing the messianic aspirations and expectations of those days, we can assume that at least one of them saw the Messiah in Yeshua and believed in his power to cleanse the lepers. And who was that someone? Most likely, I'm not sure, but it's an interesting idea, that most likely it was one of the 10 who returned to Yeshua when he saw that he had been healed. Most likely it was the one who returned to worship him. Can you understand what he must have been thinking? "I'm clean. That man healed me." And according to rabbis, only the Messiah can cure leprosy. That means this is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And we read in verse 15, "Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell at Yeshua's feet in worship, face down, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." A Samaritan. He was one of the outcasts with whom Orthodox religious Jews refused even to talk. Yet this outcast was the only one who understood who Yeshua was, who returned to bow before him, to praise him for healing and cleansing, and to receive salvation of his soul, not only his body, but also his soul. So the third lesson for today is that true gratitude, a faithful heart, is one of the qualities, one of the elements of a true faith. It opens doors to God's miracles. Gratitude attracts the presence of the Lord. Anyone, even Yeshua, would be more open to serve someone who is grateful. No surprise that the prayer Yeshua taught us begins with gratitude and praise to God. You remember this prayer, Our Father in heaven, your name is holy, Kadosh. Now this is the question. Did this Samaritan healed of leprosy continue as a leper at heart? Did he remain desolate and devastated, forever defeated by his leprosy? I think not at all. His cleansing went to the deepest of his heart. He was forgiven. Dear friends, I want to tell you today one very important truth from the Bible. It is in Luke chapter 5. Almost the same situation here. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Now, while Yeshua was in one of the towns, a man covered with leprosy appeared. And when he saw Yeshua, he fell on his face and begged him, saying, Master, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing. It's not about, can you do that or not? Lord, if you're willing, I trust you that you can do that. You're the Lord. You're the Master. And verse 13. Yeshua stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. I really believe that the Lord wants to cleanse you, heal you from internal wounds and pains. He wants you to be free of fear. There are his words to you today. I am willing. Be cleansed. I am willing. Be cleansed. Naaman, another instructive story. And we will take a couple of minutes to read about Naaman. It is in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It is a great story to read, to remember. 2 Kings 5, 1, 2. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, he was a general of his army, was a great man in his master's sight and highly esteemed, because through him Adonai had given victory to Aram. Through the man, though the man was a mighty man of valor, he had leprosy. He was leper. Verse 2. Aram had gone out in bands and had taken captive a young girl from the land of Israel. So she served Naaman's wife. We need to know the story. Naaman fought with Israel. He took prisoners. As happens in war, he killed people. He captured an Israeli girl. Maybe he killed her parents or took her away by force. In any case, because he was a warrior, he was a general, he was a cruel man. Surely he thought of Israel as a defeated people, having a God who could not save them from the hand of the Syrians, because he had a victory over Israel before. And suddenly, the disease, leprosy. Naaman, so successful and once so strong, suddenly found himself hopelessly ill, and there was no one who could help in whole Syria. And we know that leprosy is a slow, painful, leading to a certain death, sickness in that times. But then help came to Naaman from a most unexpected place. The captive, the little slave girl, told Naaman about a man in Israel who conquered the conquered nation, who could heal him. I think it was really hard. How hard it must have been for Naaman's to change his mentality. Yesterday he fought against Israel, and today he must go humbly to a defeated people as a supplicant, begging for mercy, hoping for sympathy. So let's read a continuation of this story, verse 9 through verse 17. So here's the Naaman, the general of a great Syrian army. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha with his horses. I love this place. With chariots in his glory, the great man of war, he's general of great army. So here he is. He comes to Elijah. And verse 10, it is an amazing place of scripture. So Elijah sent him a messenger saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean. And can you imagine, here's the Naaman, the general, the great man. But Naaman was angered and walked away, saying, I thought he would surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of Adonai his God, and wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Aren't Amana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Yeah, I can relate to him. I can understand him. Verse 13. But his servants approached him and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he told you only to wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. Then his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 15. When he returned with his entire retinue to the man of God, and came and stood before him, he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now please accept the present from your servant. But Elisha said, as Adonai before whom I stand lives, I will accept nothing. Naaman pressed him to accept, but Elisha refused. So Naaman said, it is incredible. If not, then please let your servant be given 2 mules lots of soil. Lots of soil. For your servant will no longer offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any other god except Adonai. Such humbleness achieves miracles. He experienced a series of serious shocks that prepared him to receive God's miracle. The first one, the prophet gave him no respect, did not come out to meet him, didn't even come to the door to invite him in. Where was his gift of hospitality? The prophet sends a servant out to meet him. Did the servant wash his feet or offer him a coffee? No, he said, here are some suggestions from the prophet. You may go. Now that was a slap in his face. The prophet suggested that Naaman do some strange things that seemed to have no spiritual significance, but rather seemed to be only a mockery of Naaman. Go take a bath in a dirty river 7 times. I don't know, but perhaps the reason Elijah did not come out to meet the great general is that he wanted to leave Naaman alone with God's word, him and the word from God. Naaman would then have to make a clear choice, either yes or no, either follow the instructions or to go home and die. But Naaman obeys, and the results are incredible. Not only does the Lord change the life of the general, but also the political situation in Syria and Israel. Naaman, formerly one of the most powerful enemies of Israel, becomes a friend to Israel and a follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Only our Lord is capable to do this. Only our Lord. It is very interesting that the name Naaman in Hebrew means faithful. This word has the same root as the word emunah, faith. Indeed, faithfulness to God and faith in Him results in miracles in our lives. Naaman humbled himself, believed, obeyed the words of the Lord and prophet, even though he did not like them at first. The result was that he experienced a miracle that changed his fate and the fate of entire nations. So often the words of the son Dayeno have an application to our experience with God. It would have been enough. But God does more than we ask, more than we would ever expect. With God, enough is never enough. If we are faithful to God, He will outfaithful us every time. Allow me to close with a passage from the New Testament that will open the door of faith in your life. It is in book of James, chapter 4, verse 6. This is the last place for today. James 4, 6. But he gives greater grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. Thank you so much for attention. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. I will close this with Aaron's blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel, and then we will return to the Painter home for a final worship song. So let us pray together. Let us pray together. Yeverecha Adonai veishmerecha. Yaer Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Issa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.